five-year span, that if we went forward with a project of that magnitude, we haven't seen a project of that magnitude before in the state. I want to discuss the staffing level issue specifically. We undertook the staffing analysis only as a part of the risk assessment. It was not undertaken solely to identify appropriate staffing levels for PERS. We looked at three comparable PERS systems, and we found with this analysis that the general staffing was also low, not just the technology. We did not recommend that PERS hire 116 new staff. It would not be appropriate for us to do so. What we did recommend is that PERS conduct their own assessment of appropriate staffing to achieve their business goals, and that's our recommendation. IRMD, I want to be clear that IRMD understands and recognizes the immediate critical needs that PERS faces. They must address a core business system, RIMS, which has reached the end of its useful life. They must achieve productivity improvements in core operations. They must develop a system that can be administered successfully by PERS staff. And they must address overall staffing constraints associated with the development of a new technology system. And they must optimize the current investment they've already made in the project. Therefore, our recommendation is that PERS redesign a business system which automates core business functions at an affordable cost to the state of Oregon and with acceptable level of risk, and that they return to us with a plan and request for funding. The work that PERS has done to date is necessary and provides the foundation for this ongoing work, for building a viable and scalable project with an acceptable level of risk. That work is done. IRMD is prepared to work with the PERS staff in the evaluation of the revised project content. And within that process, we will again examine both the content and the project deliverables and the proposed project staffing, but that effort will have to take place in the context of a revised project. We are eager to move forward with them.
Sarah?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Sarah Gates, Budget and Management. Budget Management concurs with IRMD in their recommendations on the OPIS project. We recommend that if $1 of expenditure limitation be granted as a placeholder for this project for the 2001-03 biennia so that the agency can return to the Emergency Board and the Joint Legislative Information and Information Management and Technology Committee with further details. In addition, Budget Management recommends that a management review team led by Budget Management work with the agency on a management review to identify organizational weaknesses that need to be corrected prior to proceeding with the line of business replacement project.
Thank you. Who's here from PERS?
David Baden.
David, welcome.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is David Bailey. I'm PERS Deputy Director. I'm sorry that our director couldn't be with us today, so this duty has fallen to me. With me is Ed Johnson, who is the administrator of our Information Technology Division. I'm mainly here to respond to any questions you might have, but Mr. Chair, you did send us a memo with five questions, and I thought I'd at least begin the process of responding to those if that pleases the committee.
Okay.
Your first question was, how does your current staffing plan allow for maintenance support of RIMS in the near term if no further work is to be done on OPIS? Our first with the shutting down of OPIS, the first thing we'll do is move some of the staff who've been in training on new software and have been working on OPIS back into the RIMS maintenance area. That'll be our focus for now. We'll maintain the contractors that work on RIMS, and we'll probably make some adjustments later once we see what legislation comes out regarding PERS and what changes need to be made to RIMS in order to support that legislation. So the focus will be, we're now on RIMS. Your second question was, how do you plan to address the critical staffing needs identified by IRMD? I think we really need to talk with IRMD further and see, get a little bit better idea of where the key weaknesses are and what they see in our staffing. And as we wrap up the OPUS project, we'll be looking at the staffing levels as a part of that process also. Third question was, your January 2001 Emergency Board presentation identified carryover expenditure limitation to be used in Cycle Zero of the OPUS build-out. How much of that 1999-01 expenditure limitation remains for the OPUS project, from the OPUS project? We expect that we'll end the biennium with a surplus of about $300,000. We do need to wrap up OPUS and preserve as much as possible the expenditure that's been made to date, complete the business rules process, and some of these other processes. Process improvement was something recommended in the IG audit. We will continue with that process. But we agree we don't need any additional expenditure limitation. What are your immediate plans to revisit the entire project, specifically a plan to replace the core business system, RIMS? I mentioned this, first step in this is going to be to preserve what's been done so far so that that work is not lost as much as possible. Second, to address our immediate needs with RIMS, repoint the division that Ed heads so that we focus on RIMS, but then also third, to start the process of developing a set of alternatives working with IRMD so that we can come up with a plan that's acceptable. Then we expect that we'll probably return in June or as soon as possible to the committee to let you know where we're at in this process. And finally, you asked, do you need additional resources to accomplish this? And no, no additional authorizations required. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I guess one of the concerns I have, and I'm looking at kind of the public perception, you know, we spent $10 million, and, you know, what do we have for it? I guess that's what I'd like to have you respond to a bit more. In other words, I'm picking up that we've not wasted $10 million. We have $10 million invested in this, but yet a lot of that can be salaries. Could you expand on that for me just a bit?
Yes, and Ed Johnson's probably more qualified to answer that than I am, but a lot of the work to date has been in developing the architecture for the process, for the project. And I think a lot of that will be salvageable. And I might mention we've been contacted by another retirement system that thinks that all that work is salvageable or worth continuing with. So there might be some interest there. But I'm going to let Ed give you a better answer.
Mr. Chair, if you could also respond at the same time about any contracts that you currently have and how they're going to be affected by this. I understood you're going to try to continue some of the contractors, but this one, I imagine you're going to have to renegotiate contracts and what kind of costs are going to be involved there.
Okay. Chair Hill, Senator Duncan, members of the committee, my name is Ed Johnson. I'm the Information Systems Division Administrator. To address your question, sir, on the contracts, technically where we are is we are at a point in suspense near the end of phase one, and we're just in a loop right there. So legally, we can, we're totally flexible on those contracts. We have no liability to be concerned of. We are using a very small residual portion of that project resource under those contracts to get us repointed and to close out, particularly to close out and preserve the value of the artifacts generated by the project. That pretty well sums up that issue. If you have any further detail you'd like to know about it, I'd be happy to answer it. But the contracts are in a point of suspense, completely under the control and discretion of the state. We have no liability open to our vendors.
Representative Patridge.
Aside from the liability open to vendors, how much money was spent creating the plan that you presented previously?
The total expenditure on the system development project was approximately $8.5 million. Of that, to the best of my recollection, approximately $3 million or so was spent on developing architecture. Some portion was spent on training the staff for new technologies. Another portion was spent on organizational issues, getting the organization positioned to support new technology, and more importantly, getting the organization generally positioned to execute all conventional software process management responsibilities. The actual part spent planning the design itself was probably roughly in the vicinity of about a third of the total expenditure, maybe about a third of the total of 8.5, so what, 2.5?
Representative Patridge.
Oh, that was true. I guess my question is, I mean, you came up with this plan, we've paid $8.5 million. The plan's not workable. And what kind of recourse do we have against the contractor for doing that, or is it PERS' fault? I need to know who is to blame for this particular piece not working.
Let me respond to that. We're not in total agreement with IRMD as to whether the plan is workable or not. And I don't know that IRMD would say that the plan's not workable. I think what they said was they see the risk as unacceptable. But we're in disagreement on that as well. We think it's a very good plan.
Question?
Representative Lowe?
Are you also in disagreement that the projected costs of completion of this plan are about $100 million?
That is correct.
And what do you think the projected cost of completion of this plan would be?
Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, members of the committee, we believe the cost to complete under our defined build scope is accurate as presented, which was 58.1 to 63.9 million dollars.
Representative Patridge.
So do we have any recourse on this plan?
Chair Hill, Representative Patridge, members of the committee. Yes, and if I'm understanding your intent of the word recourse, there are several options. One is to take the plan, craft a new implementation of that technology plan. That would address issues of risk. In other words, segment it down into very discrete, individually funded pieces, a pay-as-you-go plan, so that you would see very definite value and the agency would see very definite usability at each increment before you decided to go to the next. That would address both the risk management needs and preserve the technology plan. Other aspects of recourse, the nature of the work, which was largely architectural to this point as well as design, is a very open, highly conventional, very contemporary design. And I'm proud to say I think of high value to the state of Oregon, and very reusable by other agencies. I would also say that in terms of recourse, we have expressed interest from two funds larger than us who say, it's good architecture, we'd like to talk to you about acquiring it. And I'm sure there are other avenues, but those are three. I would not hesitate to say also that recourse involves taking a good hard look at lessons learned and applying what we learned to a whole new design. There's still value even at that level. I think there are several levels of recourse available to us.
Let me ask a question if I could.
Representative Lowe.
Since you have people who might find value in the architecture that you develop for the state of Oregon, would we be, and if they were to purchase this, I would assume that the state would be reimbursed for the lost, for some of the lost funds?
Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, members of the committee, I would see no other place to put the money but back in the hands of the state. There's another way of looking at that. We weren't just looking for places to sell it. We actually were approached, and they were looking at an exchange of services, which actually reduces the total system development costs by each of the agencies doing a portion of the work. So that's another level of recourse. We can sell it, we can make it available to other state agencies of Oregon, and we can barter for work to cut system development costs with like organizations in other states. All three of those will work under this architecture.
But all we need to do is spend $100 million to get there first.
No, sir. No, sir. To go back to Senator Duncan's question of what did we get for the money so far, that's available to you now.
But it has no value unless it's expressed in a system that someone can use.
True.
You need to invest the dollars to make it a usable system.
Yes.
And the question here is whether we're willing to gamble between $50 and $100 million
mm-hmm.
to see if it can be successful or whether it cannot be successful. But what I'm gathering here in terms of by your testimony is that you're going to sit there and be silent today, and you're just going to, where you don't agree with any of the recommendations from DAS or BAM, that you think that you've done everything correctly and that the system would work. Is that a correct statement?
Mr. Representative Hill, Mr. Chair, let me just try and provide my perspective on this. What we've done with the project is we've front-loaded a lot of the costs. And unfortunately, and we think we did so for some very good reasons. We think it increases the ability to integrate the systems that are eventually produced, and it also adds to the longevity of the project and reduces the risk. But what happens is that then you have a lot of the cost up front and nothing produced that is workable until later in the project. And I think IRMD can tell you themselves whether this is their opinion or not, but I think that presented an unacceptable risk to IRMD.
Well, let me interrupt you there. If PERS's mission here is to fix the RIM system, that doesn't seem like a very good plan where you have to develop the entire system before you get any value out of it. Where, you know, we've heard time and time before that the RIM system is about to fail, and that if we don't spend all this money on it, that that we're looking for abject disaster. But yet, you developed a plan that to solve the problem, you have to solve all these other things that have nothing to do with RIMs first.
Well, certainly the problems with RIMS is one of the reasons that we need to do this project, but probably an even more important reason is the onslaught of baby boomers that are coming our way that are going to, depending on who you ask, double or triple our workload within the next 5 to 10 years. So just replacing RIMS isn't going to address all the needs that we have. We're trying to dramatically increase the efficiency of the system and avoid the need to hire what one consultant said is 131 additional people. So our approach has been to try and come to you with the most efficient tools that we can provide to our staff so they can be much more efficient in their work. So it really hasn't been our direction just to replace RIMS.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to remember on this whole thing, was there some disagreement with IRMD originally about the that the route you were going wasn't compatible. Now, I'm trying to remember something, and maybe somebody from Donna, from IMD, can respond to that, too. In other words, did you have their blessing as you moved forward, or was there some disagreement of the approach that you were taking versus what they would prefer to be more compatible with the state system? And I'm trying to remember.
Well, you'll have to get their answer to this as well. As far as I know, we've been in agreement up until about the time of our request for bridge period funding, which was late last year.
Where's that bridge?
I guess my only concern coming out of this thing is, based upon the testimony that you've had here today, is that I don't feel like you and maybe this legislative body and DAS IRMD are all on the same page. I feel like you feel like this is that you haven't looked at what's risk averse and not. And you're playing with taxpayer money, and I think DAS and BAM are trying to be conservative, as is LFO, and we are, in terms of this taxpayer money. And I don't feel like PERS is saying, hey, we understand that there are some risks that are here. We understand the concerns that are expressed. I feel like you're just saying, hey, we're happy with it and we disagree. If that's the case, I guess I'm concerned about how we're going to continue to manage the PERS program in the future if we're not on the same page about risk aversion and spending taxpayer dollars. And that's my concern coming into this thing, because what's the next project we're going to have down the line if there's not a change in attitude at PERS? I guess that's my, you know, this is a substantial issue. When you're asking the legislature to spend $100 million and everyone else feels like that there is, you know, so much risk going forward, what's PERS doing with the rest of the money? I guess is if management feels that this project is acceptable.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, there's been, when you say we're not on the same page, you're absolutely right, and we need to get on the same page, and that's really our goal when we come back with another plan. I haven't mentioned it yet, and I probably should have, but our goal is to work with IRMD and make sure that they are in support of whatever plan that we come back to you with.
Well, goal, it's a requirement. Let me just be explicitly clear. In terms of, this isn't going to be, you're going to come back with a better idea, and then we're going to have to choose between, you're all going to be on the same page. And I think following on with Representative Patrick's comments, in terms of this is attitudinal and a management issue, in terms of I'm getting the sense here that the management at PERS does not get it, and that you need to take this message back, and you guys need to think long and hard about it, and you need to go and you need to sit down with Taz and have a long conversation, and everybody get on the same page.
Mr. Hill, Mr. Chair, we hear you. And that's exactly where we want to be.
Representative Lowe.
Thank you. I'm worried about the plan that you might come back to us with. Would it have anything to do with when you were in my office and you were suggesting that legislation be passed to allow PERS to use a couple hundred million of the funds in PERS to fix the RIM system? Is that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe.
I'm worried about what's next.
Well, I don't think the cost is going to be $200 million.
It's $60 million, wasn't it? Something?
Well, our estimate just to rebuild RIMs or upgrade it was about $48 million. But that's sticking with older technology, which we don't think is prudent. We need to upgrade the technology as well. So if we just rebuilt RIMs or a line of business application, what was the cost of that?
Well, Chair Hill, Representative Lowe, the cost, including the necessary staffing, totaled at $127 million. The pure remediation cost, Mr. Bailey is approximately correct. It was in the neighborhood, as I recall, of around $49 million.
And you wanted to be able, permission to be able to invade the PERS retirement corpus in order to do that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, all the administrative costs of PERS are taken from interest earnings on the fund. So that's the way everything at PERS is funded. The Treasury Investment Division is also funded that way.
So if this fails, then that's the fallback plan? That's really what I'm asking you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, we really don't have a fallback plan right now. We're going to take the time to study this and to work with IRMD and make sure that the plan we come up with in the future does address everything that they've mentioned that it needs to have. It's going to be cut into pieces that are small enough that we can roll out products in cycles and demonstrate that we have the ability to produce products and to be successful. It's going to be scalable, as they've asked, and whatever else they want, we'll also do that as long as it meets the business needs of PERS. It's important that we solve the problems that we've identified in this project.
Okay. We're going to close the public hearing. We're going to open a work session relating to House Bill 5035. Dallas, you want to go over the specific recommendations?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, staff recommendations are consistent with that of IRMD and budget management. We would recommend a dollar of limitation be placed in the budget as a separate line item specifically. And we'll continue with the acronym of the nomenclature Oregon Pension Administration System without defining it further. At the chair's request, I have also drafted a recommendation to the general government subcommittee. Yes, the recommendations, whatever is adopted here, will be presented to the general government subcommittee on Monday morning. You have before you, I believe, a copy of the language that would be recommended to be placed in the budget bill, and I'll read it for you. Notwithstanding any other law, no more than a dollar may be expended during the biennium beginning July 1st, 2001 for the development or implementation of the Oregon Pension Administration System project without prior review by the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology and expenditure limitation approved by the Emergency Board.
Representative Patridge, go ahead.
Sure, I'd move the LFO and BAM recommendation as stated by Dallas.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Yee,
I have a question under discussion. I want to know, in the event that they present a plan that's approved by the Information and Technology Committee and they come to Emergency Board for increase in limitation, now is there money reserved for implementation of the project for next biennium?
Senator Yee, they have limitation, and so the dollars that are available to PERS be out of the interest earnings, and so they will be just authorized to expend those dollars.
Mm-hmm. So the money is there,
correct,
and all we need to do is see an approved plan and increase the limitation.
Correct. Any further discussion? Senator Duncan?
Sure. I guess at this point, then we should get on the record then. The $10 million we're concerned about, whether we're getting full benefit of it or whether, let's say, one thinks it was a complete waste, we're not talking about taxpayer dollars in that case. That was the interest money earned from the people within the retirement system.
Yes
we're talking sense. About
right.
retirement dollars for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of the state workers.
I just wanted to get that.
The retirement dollars are still taxpayers' dollars. The retirees are taxpayers.
Well, yes.
Not generalized tax.
But not the general fund, is what I'm saying.
Representative Patridge.
I just wanted to put on the record that I think it's clear that they need to work with IRMD and they need to work with LFO through this process. But I'm concerned, and I would like them, when they come back with a plan, to address also what they've done internally with their own management to address how they're evaluating projects in terms of risk aversion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this seems like this project just went willy-nilly down the path. We spent $10 million of, retirees' dollars, public retirees' dollars, public employee dollars, and we've gone down the path, and now here we sit holding holding a bag after looking at it and looking at $10 million. Now, I know there's some disagreement about that, but I think that PERS really needs to look internally at their own management practices and look at and report back to this committee what's going on in terms of your management and your risk aversion strategy, not only on this project, but on other projects. And is your board, you know, I want to know, is your board helping make some of those decisions as you move forward?
Mr. Chairman, I want an audit. I want an audit now.
Representative Lowen, they've already had an audit.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, you don't have before you suggested budget notes that have been approved by the co-chairs. One of those budget notes is requesting Department of Administrative Services to conduct a review of the organizational structure, management structure, and positions in PERS. Another one is requesting the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to look at another issue with relationship to PERS activity, and that's the deferred compensation plan. So the there is oversight planned and reports to come back to the assembly from reviews like that.
Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. With that, with no further business before the committee, we are adjourned.